Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 391, the box office report for the week ending July 8th.
I'm rusty.
Yeah, I am rusty too. It's been a while.
Man, every time somebody does that in my head.
It's been a while.
Every single time. I have to, like, I just had this conversation yesterday where I was like, I have to actively not do it. Like, say that.
Well, it's just like in Halloween when she says, Annie, are you okay?
Yeah.
How do you not instantly jump to Smooth Criminal?
Because I never noticed it until you pointed it out.
Wait a minute. You never noticed it's one something of those, in Halloween until I
Well, I mean, like, I never noticed the Michael Jackson connection.
In his defense, it's Michael Jackson related.
Yeah.
Would it help if it were Alien Ant Farm related?
No.
Okay. That's fair.
Isn't that, that's always been a weird thing. Like, how many bands have come out with a cover that did really well and then never did anything else?
Soft Cell, Tainted Love.
Ooh, that's a good one.
To be fair.
That's very true.
That's right. That's coming too.
I know they're famous from that, but that entire album is actually good. That
they had movies off
movies.
That.
Movies. Was a, that's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah. Movies was a good song.
But there's a whole bunch of songs. I don't remember them all by name, but if you listen to that whole album, like, that's actually a really good album.
Yeah, but I would say their biggest hit was the cover.
I mean, there's no doubt. But they're not a one-hit wonder, which is everyone knows
Miser.
That.
Miser did a cover of Zombie, and then that was it.
Yeah. But that was that a nationwide hit, or was that just something that they played? They just got played kind of locally on the radio.
It was a good cover.
It was.
Yeah.
But, you know, also, I mean, that cover of Smooth Criminal is good, though.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's a fun cover.
Oh,
yeah,
it is.
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
Billy Idol, Money Money.
No.
No.
Nobody messes with Billy Idol.
So where were we?
Everything Bruno Mars has ever made.
Is he the one that got sued?
Like, twice now.
Has he really?
Me and
was
Tom.
That, was No, he. I think you're thinking of Pharrell. Pharrell got sued.
Pharrell got sued for Blurred Lines.
Okay. And now Bruno Mars.
Pharrell got sued. I thought it was Alan Thicke.
Robin Thicke. I think Pharrell was the... Was,
producer.
Was like the writer-producer.
He was,
on it.
Yeah.
But Robin Thicke performed it.
Yeah, I could have sworn... No, it was Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran got gigged by Al Green.
God, they're all
good. Ed Sheeran got by Tom Petty.
No, Sam Smith got gigged by Tom Petty.
All those.
they all blur together.
Yeah.
And then Huey Lewis got gigged by, or the guy from Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
got
Ray Parker
Jr. got gigged by Huey Lewis.
Yeah, I was going to say, Huey Lewis.
And then Huey Lewis ran his mouth and lost it all again.
lost it back. And now
he's
deaf.
Yeah, that's true. Like, and now he's deaf. Womp, womp.
But isn't it odd? So every time you hear a new song
Vanilla
come out,
Ice.
Yeah, exactly. Every time you hear a new song come out, I swear it's a sample of something else. Like, I feel like there's no original music anymore. I'm not saying there's none. But
I think there's original music, but we don't hear it.
But they sample, I mean, every pop artist or pop, you know.
I think now it's like when you write something new, somebody's like, well, that sounds like something else.
There's only so many chord progressions that you can do, right?
And you play that Sam Smith song over that Tom Petty song.
Right.
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Like,
it's identical. Slowed down version.
Yeah, it's the same
but
thing.
I do that with songs all the time in the car. It'll play and then I'll you know, I'll just start singing like the song it sounds like. And my wife will be like, oh, man, you're right.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I don't think, like, I think the Blurred Line things was kind of a joke. It had the same vibe, but, like, feel to it.
Who did he get sued by?
That was
Marvin Gaye?
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you hear the original, like, yeah, I hear the similarities, but it was more about kind of how the song felt than it was, like, note for note.
It's not like Vanilla Ice, who's like, no, ours goes like this.
Yeah.
And that was crazy.
Like, no, that's not plagiarism because, see, at this point is where I picked up the needle and then,
oh, no, wait.
Like the fact that he thought he could put like a ch at the end of the exact
you know what?
Same.
It wouldn't, I don't think it would have been as bad if he didn't go on like MTV or VH1 and try to defend it.
Yeah.
And everybody's just like, uh-huh.
I mean, it would have been bad, but him trying to justify it, yes, was worse.
No,
you're
theirs
right.
Goes like this.
The worst is when you're at a trivia night and they're like, name that song, and they play that ding, ding, like, ding, da, ding, ding. And
you got to wait.
Like, and you're like, and then they stop, and you're like, well, you got a 50-50 chance.
Yeah. It could be
why
one
don't
or
you
the
just
other.
Flip a quarter and ask us to pick heads or tails?
You bunch of
pecans? Yeah. The worst, though, I think I talked about this a million years ago, is when you're at a trivia night for a Catholic school, and they're playing like, Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil,
Pour Some Sugar on Me,
and I'm like, I got yelled at for listening to this stuff. Like, yeah, I got, honest to God, yelled at by a nun for listening to Motley Crue in the seventh grade.
Look at, they look like ladies.
And now it's like, oh, it's old timey rock and roll.
It's on Keishi. Yeah,
that's fine. The times they are changing.
And now
and it's
just,
and
yeah.
the because it's Catholic school. Still the same nun.
That's right. Because they never go away.
And she was 90 when you were a kid.
Right.
It's like, how?
I was 90 when I was a kid.
She's still trying to hit me in the knuckles with that ruler.
Yeah, it just keeps getting longer. It's like your ears. They never stop growing.
<That's right. laughs>
So I guess we should probably go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. We are Danless this week, so God only knows what sort of hole we'll dig for ourselves.
We'll figure it out.
But we'll try our
have
best
no fear.
To dig that hole, is what we're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, I dig that hole. See? Already starting.
Yeah.
shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. That helps us tremendously. So you can also check us out at our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Shares. Share the show with a friend, and we will thank you by name on the... I was going to say radio, but we're not on the radio.
Nope.
On the internet.
Yes.
How
I
about
just,
that?
I just play these on our own pirate radio station.
Oh, look
someone
at that.
Picks it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, Slu has a radio station. We just take it over.
Yeah.
Joe
yeah.
just plugs in at night and.
Yeah, no one's there.
Yeah.
Joe can break
I got keys in. Yeah. It's all good.
So, people who were kind enough to share the show over the last 9 weeks since the last time I read one of these, Musings of a Cosplay Witch, Zach Bach, Timmy Two Zunes, Librarian Cynthia, Travis Tewitt, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brent Smith, Julianne Jordan, Chris James, Tom Comiskey, Griffin Fox Smith, Chris Sanders, Chris Magic Man, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Richard Lawson, Lane Levanway, Ralph Tribble, Jason Weesey, Nick Scott, Linnea Thunsell, and Troy Anspaw. So thank you very much, guys, for sharing the show. And if you would like to be added to that list, all you need to do is share the show on Facebook and have your privacy settings set to where I can see them.
Shut the share as public.
That's I always feel like who I see every week that there's people...
Yep.
There's more people sharing the show than names I can read.
Yep.
So I'm like, are these people like secretly pissed or are they just like...
No, they're like, I'm fine not having Tom see my profile.
Yeah,
that's fine.
It's probably somebody who's has like a name that gets made fun of all the time.
Yeah, it's like, no, it's fine.
Like, you know... It's
Joey
like,
Butts.
It's like...
Mother.
David Pussylander. He's like, I'm not going down this road. I like the show. I will share it, but they do not need to say my
name.
When
he's older, he'll own it.
What was the, wasn't there a Bond villain whose last name was Honey? Dang it. Not Honey, dang it.
But, and there's Pussy Galore.
There's Pussy Galore, but there was, they'd have, you know, obviously...
There's a lot of vagina.
A lot of that doesn't count. But there was one. I'm almost positive there was one called like Honey something.
Honey Ryder.
Yeah, there it is. That which one was she? Was she
she's
a Roger
to Zach Ryder?
She a spelled different.
She's from
Roger Moore.
Doctor No.
Oh,
that was Ursula.
Oh, that's the first one.
It was
Ursula Andress.
Yeah,
yeah.
Andress.
That's Andress. That's the one that Heather Graham's bikini was based off of.
Okay, sure.
When she walks out in the white bikini, that was the. Oh. That's the one it's based off.
Ah. So
the more you
know. James Bond corner for anybody.
Yeah. I've tried to get into James Bond.
I love it.
And I just can't do it.
Really?
I've tried.
Did you like the new ones?
They were okay.
Okay.
Like, I would have never go see them on my own, but they were. Quantum of Solace was a snooze.
That was a snooze. That was the one they had to get out before the writer's strike.
Right, and they shouldn't have.
No,
it was brutally boring.
Skyfall. Tell me you didn't
Skyfall
like Skyfall.
I enjoyed it, but I can't imagine ever sitting down and watching it again.
Really?
Which is the one with Javier Bardem?
That is...
That's not Skyfall. Or is that Skyfall?
Is that Spectre?
No, that's
okay,
Skyfall.
So that is Skyfall. Spectre's the one with Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he's Blofeld.
Yes.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Spoilers. Who's his brother?
Who's yeah.
Double spoilers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just stop trying to pretend like it's all one story.
Just reboot
the damn
It's
thing.
Fine.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just like I said, I've tried just.
Did you not watch him as kids? Like
I tried to watch him when I was like 14, 15.
Who was James Bond at that point?
Was
it Roger Moore?
So it would have been, you know, really the first time I started paying attention was when it was Roger Moore, but there was the Sean Connery knockoff James
Never
Bond.
Say Never Again.
Never Say Never Again.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so it's, yeah, so.
Woody Allen is Tom's James Bond.
Yeah. But then I went back and watched, like, the first. I was going to watch them all the way through, and I watched,
ooh,
like,
man.
Doc. Not like in a day or anything,
but
still,
back then
there were three.
Right,
so.
Now there's 25.
Yeah. Back then we called it the James Bond trilogy. It wasn't so difficult.
The James Bond universe was three
movies.
But I did Dr. No, and then what's the second one? Goldfinger, and maybe I did the third one, and then I was just like, "This is boring. Why am I subjecting myself to this?" And I stopped.
Okay,
so
I think if you don't watch them as a kid, it's kind of like how your first James Bond is your favorite. Usually, you grow up with that nostalgia attached to it, and I think if you don't get into it as a kid, probably as an adult, you're just like you don't see the thrill of the spy story or something.
Those aren't really spy stories at that point. They don't become like spy stories until Casino Royale.
James Bond's a spy, right?
Yeah, but they go full superhero by like the fourth one.
Yeah.
Where he's just like judo chop and knocking people out with one
punch.
And
he's in space.
Moonraker.
Yeah, Moonraker. Yeah. I mean, it's funny how much I know about James Bond without having ever seen them.
Well, that poster is, I love that poster.
Yeah.
That's a good poster.
Yeah. And Richard Kiel he's on an episode of The Monkees. So you got to
take
that. Yeah.
There you go.
He played like a Frankenstein type monster. And
he was Jaws, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a big, huge guy.
Yeah.
But he was on an episode of The Monkees, and he's also, for the MST3K fans, he's EGOT.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And thank you for joining us for 6 Degrees of Mike Nesmith.
Right. That's what I do.
It always ties back into The Monkees.
Yes. It all
I bet you can connect everything to The Monkees in some degree, like people can with Kevin Bacon.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. I think the Kevin Bacon thing is
Because if you can get
Chris Penn, De Niro,
but you've got Jack Nicholson to tie everything into.
That's true.
So I mean,
that
makes it pretty easy.
It's pretty easy at that point. Yeah, if you can get to Mystic River, like that's always the goal. Is if you can get to Mystic River, you're golden because that's how you do it. Hmm. I used to be able to do Gizmo.
What?
Yeah, there's a way you could do Gizmo to Kevin Bacon.
Oh, I thought you tied everything to Gizmo.
No.
Yeah,
no,
that's impressive.
I think you have to
Charlie Chaplin to Gizmo. Go.
Yeah.
It's Gizmo was in Gremlins with Phoebe Cates. Phoebe Cates was in Fast Times with Chris Penn. Chris Penn was in Mystic River with Kevin Bacon.
Everything, so it's all Mystic River.
It's all go. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay.
That's how you do it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. There's your cheat for 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Oh.
So anyway, there's, I guess, all of your shameless plugs, and thank you for sharing the show. I guess we will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom, and this weekend it is one of those movie of the week type of weeks. Ant-Man and the Wasp, this is, of course, an early estimate, but it's estimated to come in with $79 million. So that's, I think they said it was $20 million higher than the first one. I don't know if you remember, but I mean, so better than the first one's opening by quite a bit, which is great. Ant-Man, I think, was kind of one of those surprises. It was one of those that everyone was kind of like, Ant-Man.
It was Guardians level. We're just like, oh,
right,
geez.
But they pulled it off. I think everybody had a lot of fun with it. I haven't really talked to anyone who didn't at least enjoy somewhat the first Ant-Man. And
And no, it's a fun movie.
And
it's also the most kid friendly.
I would agree.
That's of true. The Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think especially coming off of we had questioned with Infinity War, you just had that huge. I mean, you had Black Panther, then you had Infinity War. It's like, are people going to show up for Ant-Man? It's a lot, and it's one of the lower tier characters. And
but if you'll remember last time, it was coming off of an Avengers movie as well.
It was.
Wow. Yeah.
So, no, it was going into.
Was it? I thought it was going off of.
No, it was going into because they. So Ant-Man came out and then he shows up in Civil War. And Civil War was after Ant-Man.
But I thought he was coming off. I thought it was after an Avengers movie. What came out before Ant-Man?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So
it may have been Avengers too.
So the first Ant-Man I found was $57 million opening, and this one's estimated at 79, which, you know, could even go up from there. So yeah, sure. that's a lot bigger for, you know, a sequel coming off of Infinity War. Jeez, yeah, it seems like that movie just happened.
It's also like Infinity War was a heavy movie.
Yeah.
And this is definitely this is a prequel or happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's a much lighter movie.
It's great counter programming to themselves.
Yeah. It's a way to stop it from getting too like dour.
Right.
You know, even like I watched Infinity War again.
Oh,
well, I was on.
I was going to say, the math, how did you, I thought maybe you were on a pirate cruise.
I was. I was on a Disney cruise.
Yeah, that counts.
And they do have Pirate Night.
Yeah.
But they show first run movies because they own movies. And so they were showing Infinity War. So I watched, Crystal hadn't seen it. So we went and watched Infinity War.
Nice.
And that's even for how it ends. It's still a pretty light movie. Like there's a lot of funny parts. In
yes.
It,
yes.
You know?
Yeah, it definitely hits you because it's so light.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like light, funny haha, but it's not, it doesn't, when it gets to that end, like it's double.
They ended
it's
on
doubly,
like an empire.
It's
ending.
Doubly effective because it's not.
Crystal didn't know.
And so really?
When it ends like that and she's just like, she's like, what?
What happens now?
Can we take a moment to acknowledge how we live in this geek circle and how, like, to us, it's like, oh my God, someone doesn't know how Infinity War went. Like, that thought would never go through my mind. There's people that don't know anything about the stuff that we live in.
Yeah. Well, especially because it made so much money.
Right.
But like, still, like, isn't it weird, though, when, like, to us, thinking about, like, oh, I've never, like, some people out there, like, I've never seen a Star Wars. And there are how many of those out? 10 of them?
Yeah, no, 11.
But it's like some people are like, I've never seen one. And to us, that's blasphemy.
Yeah,
like there's a whole world out there that's just never
what's wrong
watched.
With you?
They're like Firefly. What is that? A bug you catch? Like
I
just
say,
a whole,
I've never seen Firefly.
Yeah.
I've never have either.
Nope.
Deep card pulled.
Yeah.
And Ant-Man came out after Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Got it.
But before Civil War.
Right.
Don't argue with Tom's endless amount of useless knowledge.
I would
knowledge.
Never. Or Google.
I don't. Yeah, well, I Googled it to verify, but
but you were. Yeah, that's true.
Tom was Google before Google existed.
You had to actually know stuff when I
that's
was.
Right. Yeah, you couldn't just type.
I read
it
all
in
these
there.
Books when I was a kid. I had this book, and it was called The Great Sitcom Book.
Okay.
And it was like an encyclopedia, but for sitcoms.
Oh.
And it would take each year, and then break out every sitcom that premiered that year. So it was, and it started in like 1951.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like the 1951-52 season. And then if the show was a big hit, you might get 3 or 4 pages. And it was the size of a textbook.
Sure, sure.
You know, and so you might get, you know, 3 to 5 pages on I Love Lucy, but you might only get like 2 paragraphs on Here's Lucy.
Tom,
right?
I think you were just reading the Los Angeles phone book.
Yeah.
Now, my grandparents used to have, there was a giant like Movie Hound book that.
Oh, I used to love Movie Hound's
Guide
to the Movies.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Like it was IMDb before IMDb.
Leonard Maltin's yearly movie book. Every year he would come out and re-edit with the newer stuff in there, which stopped a few years back, was just a shame, just because of books, right?
Right.
But Leonard Maltin and then Movie Hound, there were a few like that that were, and then I had Movie Hound's pocket guidebook I would bring
that's
to
what
Blockbuster.
It was. That's what it was. My grandparents
there were big
had the,
ones,
had
the but
pocket.
The pocket one, yeah. And so I'd bring that to Blockbuster when I was looking for like, where's a cool movie that I haven't heard of? Because, I mean, at that point in time, the internet was not.
Yeah,
like,
Blockbuster didn't have it.
Yeah, so
they were just like,
well,
what?
At the end, let's be
they
fair.
They didn't have anything.
Do you remember at the very end, Blockbuster still operated on that like blue screen, like the monochrome screen?
Yes,
or what,
I
like,
do. I'm quite proficient to this day at that screen.
I always find that funny at the very end when I would go to Blockbuster and I'm like trying to turn in my like knockoff Redbox movies or whatever. And they're like, sorry, this will take a second. And I look at their screen. And yep, it's DOS.
It was old, man. It was an old system, but it worked. It just took a little bit.
It was
but
a
it worked.
POS.
It was a POS. It's funny you should bring up books. I was, as I'm sure you both know, I love
yeah,
the Halloween.
Yeah, did you just find books?
I found out
we
that
do
books
know.
Were a thing.
Yeah.
But, like, I was looking for the Halloween.
He's like, there aren't any pictures in here.
Yeah, these are stupid.
This one's broken.
Take it back.
What did people do before pictures?
I was looking for the Halloween novelization.
Oh, sure.
Just because, like, there's more, like, apparently.
Why not?
Because there's more,
a lot
do.
Of times
there's more stuff.
A lot of times the novelizations, because
yeah.
they have to come out at the same time as the movie, so they would send the screenplay
right.
to whoever was writing the novelization. And so
whatever
oftentimes,
was taken out of the movie.
There are deleted yeah. scenes. That's how you got deleted scenes
right.
before deleted scenes.
Also like, spoilers before yeah. a movie comes out.
Yeah.
They release those and you can
if
find out.
If you read fast enough. A yeah. lot of times the book came out like the Tuesday before the movie.
Sure,
but
sure.
But yeah, because like the Han Solo Jabba the Hutt scene is in mm-hmm. the Star Wars
oh,
novel.
Oh, sure, sure. Apparently it's out of print and you can't find one for less than $140.
Don't do it, Joe.
You know what he's asking for Christmas.
Oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to
okay.
do it. I mean, if I could find one that was, like, reasonable.
Well,
that
right.
You know,
right.
but I would probably do it. But, yeah, I went to eBay just because, like, Amazon didn't have it.
Right.
And I was just like, well, let's just, you know, see yeah. if I can. I'm sure it's one of those things where it's like, oh, here's the Superman the movie novelization for a penny. Great. I'll buy that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, $139 was the first one. I was
probably
like,
very
good
limited.
Lord.
I mean, think about how indie that movie was, you know, at the time.
Yeah, probably.
So those books are probably just
somebody had like
low.
A set of 1 through 6 they were selling for $1,000.
Oof.
And I was just like, dang it.
Yeah.
Can I find it at the library?
So, yeah, Ant-Man coming in at about $22 million higher than the first one. So that's great. And, you know, we'll see where this one goes. And that's the episode next, so we'll get into it. Coming in at number 2, Incredibles 2. That one is just a smash hit. We all knew that it was going to do well. But so far, it's already made $500 million, $506 to be exact. And it's like $208 overseas. So you're talking about $700 million
jeez.
For Incredibles 2 in week 4.
Like, man, it's crazy. So that opened like... What we that opened, I think, the Friday that we left on the cruise.
Yeah. We were so light on our estimate that week
yeah.
because...
And so I didn't see the box office numbers till I got back because there's, like, the Wi-Fi in the boat. I'm not wasting on how much on a box office report. And so I get back, and I'm, like, sitting at the airport where I have Wi-Fi, and I'm like, oh, look and see. I wonder what it did. And I honest to God, I was like, is this a typo? Like, did
Disney just rig the numbers for the ship?
I honestly thought when it showed, because at that point it had been out, I think, for 2 weeks, and it said it had made $396 million. And I was like, did they put in, like, the international numbers by accident? Like, I honest to God thought it was a mistake.
It's their.
So I think we, like, they estimated something like 120 or 130, I think. I'm trying to think back to the episode. We estimated 150, which was high. It ended up opening at 182.6 domestic.
In the words of Dan Graney, kids movie.
Yeah.
But
it's
not.
Over a holiday weekend.
But that's the thing, though. That's why it's so successful is, yeah, it
right.
kids can
oh,
see
sure,
it.
Sure, sure,
right.
sure.
But
yeah.
the subject matter is pretty heavy. Like,
right.
I'm amazed.
Weight has nothing to do with it, Kevin.
Well, I don't know. I mean, well, he did get in shape to get in that
Back to the Future.
Yeah, he did get in shape for that suit, though. Remember, he was a little pudgy in the first
yeah,
one, but then
yeah.
But that movie, like, I'm watching it, and there's so much talking. And again, I'm into it, but I'm looking around at the kids, kind of wiggle worming and everything.
Yeah,
and I'm like, these aren't. And as Brad Bird will tell you, like, this isn't a kids' movie. Kids can see it, but he writes a movie, and it just happens to be animated. There's fun action in it, but I mean, anyone that calls that a kids' movie is not looking close enough because it is not. Quote-unquote kids movie. It's animated,
right?
And but yeah, it's huge. I mean, $700 million for a sequel that came out 14 years later. We talk about how sometimes that's its detriment. Oh, 14
right.
Avatar movies, like, does anyone remember Avatar? Like, that's going to come out 10 years later or whatever it's going to end up being.
Nobody's
and it's
care.
Like, God, and does anyone rewatch that movie? And then this 14 years later, $700 million.
Yeah, that's like, good for them. I mean, Disney's like, we got to make up that Fox money somehow.
Yeah, well, yeah. They'll do it. I'm not, if anyone can do it,
yeah.
It's Disney.
Yeah.
Number three, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, a movie from a couple weeks ago that came in at $30.8 million, which is a 49% drop. That is up to $335 million domestic and $700 million overseas. That was at, I think that was at like $250 million overseas before it opened here. So, yeah, it's $700 million. It's over $1 billion. It cracked the $1 billion last week on a $170 million budget. We finally have that number. So, 3 weeks, over five times its budget.
Well, Jurassic World 3.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt at all. So you can go listen to that episode, of course. Number four, The First Purge. That's another movie that came out this week. Did anyone happen to see that
one? It's a little too close to home.
I did.
You did?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I did.
That one opened to $18.4 million. How was it?
I will say it was graded on a curve, but it was probably the best one since the first one.
Oh, wait.
Oh, you didn't like that last one with Frank Grillo?
No. The first one was the Ethan Hawke one. Which Frank Grillo one? Because there's this, I think he's
in. The
last
one. I was just saying.
Yeah, he's in two.
I've only seen one, and it was the third one.
Oh, well, I think he's in the second one, and it's basically the Punisher.
Yeah.
And then, is this the fourth one?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so the third one is where he's protecting the president.
Yeah, that's the only one I've ever seen. Where I watched, I'm like,
watch the second one because he's basically just auditioning to be a Punisher.
Yeah, like, that was a Punisher movie.
Yeah, he's just running. He's wearing a big long black trench coat, like black T-shirt and black pants, and just murking people.
So
yeah.
This is how it got started.
Yes, this is the it's the first Purge,
and
it's funny how they did it in that they kind of hedged their bets in that it's an experiment and it's only on Staten Island. And so now they can still go do another First Purge, right? A nationwide one.
Okay.
So they can kind of, you know, so they
interesting.
They can do it again. And I think this is the one that seems to be to most own its politics, which will probably frustrate some people.
Right politics?
Like, correct or
no
well isn't it old white men that put this on
yeah
basically?
So right, it's definitely
not the correct politics, the right-sided politics,
like,
well, this is Hollywood, so yes, yeah. I mean,
right, no,
well,
so that'd be the left side, like it's,
oh, I see what you're saying, yeah okay,
it's you know, it's definitely a left wing
ideology sure.
From the point of view of the film,
right,
and that, you know, basically conservatives have taken over and this is their way to kind of weed out poor people.
Right.
Like, there's a point where there's just Klansmen, flat out Klansmen going through.
Do they have tiki
purging?
Torches?
They do not.
Damn it.
Yeah.
That's too unbelievable for a movie.
Yeah. But
like, no one's going to believe that. Yeah.
But I still think that, like, I wish these movies would just get more out there with their politics.
Really?
Like,
so I'm like, more out there. It's about killing people one day of the week. And everyone's like,
because like this, I feel like this is the first one that really acknowledged that it's like, yeah, this is going to really target poor people. It's going to really be to their detriment the most because the rich people can get better weapons and can hole up in their houses. And the first one kind of talked about that, but it was always kind of at the periphery, which I dug. I thought, you know,
it was always,
but it was like, you know, because if you remember, Ethan Hawke sold.
Right.
Security systems,
he would
modify
right?
your home to be purge proof. Mm. And so.
Oh, they're creating new jobs. It's exactly like they said.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so this one is kind of like, I think is the most overtly political. And I think it was the better for it. I just think it would be. I wish that they would really sit down and think about, from a sociological standpoint, how people would react, what they would do, because they still kind of just devolves into standard action movie with jump scares kind of stuff.
Got it.
And this the premise of this movie is so interesting. It could be, regardless of your politics, it's a better movie for what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it a better movie, I think, when they just kind of officially like, yeah, this is
what we're doing.
And I wish it would almost treat it a little bit more seriously. I think it would be a lot better for it.
Interesting.
But it doesn't come off preachy, though. It's not like you.
I mean, yeah.
Is your main character a black dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I will also say it's interesting that these movies seem to have. It didn't begin this way.
Nope.
But these.
Well, in the first one, they're protecting a black dude.
But, I mean, they seem to have become... I hate to reduce movies in quite this way, but they seem to be much more like black movies.
That's
like
true,
I will say, in the theater I went to, and I saw it in St. Charles, so people from outside of St. Louis, let me just say, St. Charles is the patron saint of white flight. it's where it's a very white Republican part of town. It's not where I live. It's where I work.
just putting it out there.
But so I clocked out and went and saw the movie, and I was the only white person in the theater.
Interesting.
In a very white part of town.
Yeah, I think
I was the only white person
in the
theater.
I think the antagonist in the last one was a black chick.
But yeah. Do you think that a lot of, I have no idea, I've only seen that last one, but do you think that a lot of white people feel like they're the ones being targeted in these movies? Because like the people putting on the purge, the bad guys are white people.
That could be that like the more
rich,
the movie gets political,
people.
The more, and this one definitely like it kind of goes into some Black Lives Matter type stuff. And so I'm guessing
there's a lot of people that wouldn't see it because they're just like, they feel that that is an attack on
that, them. That could be.
Then they are the snowflake bunnies.
Yes.
Grow up. Yes. Like just go. A movie's a movie.
Yeah. Not everything has to be for
not
you.
Not everything has to be for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Like and, but yeah, like I thought it was for the turn it seems to be taking. I think it makes it better. Still not great. But
yeah,
it makes for a more interesting story
because
the hero of the movie ends up being a drug dealer who's because he's the one who knows how to work guns and stuff. And
oh,
so
sure,
he
sure.
ends up kind of becoming the avenging angel of Staten Island who's protecting people.
Interesting.
There
so,
you go. Yeah. Well, so it opened to 18.5 on a $13 million budget.
That's
so.
A high budget for a Blumhouse flick.
Boy, $13 million?
Yeah.
Boy, that's a good looking movie for $13
million.
Dollars.
Is this Blumhouse?
These are Blumhouse movies?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I think they are.
It says Universal.
Producers, Jason Blum.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought these were all him.
I mean, geez, they know how to do it though. If there's
this
one person that can make a good looking movie on a low budget.
This does not look like a $13 million movie. I would have guessed 35 to 40.
Oh, wow.
That's why there's no other Jason Blum. Like this guy, you know, because we talk about people like, what's his face that used to make the old Roger Corman, but those movies didn't look good.
Right.
No, hell
like,
no.
But Jason Blum can add, you know, $4 million. I know that the money's a little different, so maybe it's just a little bit more than Corman, but like then the movies are polished.
It's not a little
clean.
Adjust for inflation though, is it?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
well, you know,
right
when he makes
on.
A movie for $1 million or $500,000, adjust for inflation, maybe it's 3 or 3.5.
Well, I will also say though, is would Roger Corman's movies have looked like this if the technology had been where it was? Maybe for their day, they looked as close to.
Okay.
Because
if you go back and look
at old Hollywood movies, even the big budget ones by today's standards look pretty crap.
Like Clash of the Titans or something like comparatively. Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this guy, though, he knows how to do it. It's amazing when he comes out with a movie, $5 to $10 million budget.
I don't think he's ever had a movie that lost money. Like, I honestly
Isn't it just
don't.
Just that one with Olivia Wilde or whatever.
I don't even think that lost money. I think that mm-hmm.
I think by the time you factor in the just, you know, the foreign markets and home video, like,
I mean,
he's
I
had
just,
disappointments. I don't
just
think
watched,
he's had
I just watched Truth or Dare.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Not very good, but I mean.
Oh, well, it made a ton of money.
It
made $92 million worldwide on a $3.5 million budget.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think the guy's ever had. I mean, the only one that even.
You could say it's a bad movie and he's going to be like, scoreboard, bitch.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I'm, you know, 52-0.
Yeah.
I think the last Paranormal Activity, I think, was the one.
Gem and the Holograms.
Ooh, that's a Blumhouse movie?
Yep. $5 million budget. $5 million. $2.3 million worldwide.
Oh, that was bad.
Wow.
That was a bad movie.
What did the Paranormal Activity, the Ghost Dimension?
I'm looking in order of box office.
Oh, okay.
It looks like the Ghost Dimension is the lowest.
Yeah.
And that had a $10 million budget and it made $78 million worldwide.
Oh, well.
So you really got to look at the. I don't think this was Blumhouse. It was just Jason Blum, but Hamlet 2000 with Ethan Hawke.
That was probably just.
He was a producer on that.
Interesting that it's also starring Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like I'll do your Purge movie, but
yeah, well, that was in 2000.
Well,
though.
No, yeah, it was way before.
Oh,
but
okay.
That's
yeah,
how he
yeah.
knows him. Obviously,
gotcha.
As he produced the
because he was in the Purge. Yeah. He was in Sinister, which was also Blumhouse. Like that's
Yeah, so I mean, the only
That was so good.
The only other one though, like Upgrade, looked awesome, and Joe really liked it.
It was so much fun.
That only made $11 million, so if that had a $10 to $12 million, I don't know what the budget was on it, but it's like that
it couldn't have been much.
Yeah, it didn't take off. Like it looked so fun. I wish, from what I've heard about it, like that it would have done better.
If Paul Verhoeven had directed The Terminator,
okay,
like that's the best way to describe it.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out. Coming in at number five, Sicario, Day of the Soldado. That made $7.3 million in week two, which is a 62% drop, puts it up to $35.3 million domestic. I just watched the first one.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
I still haven't seen the first one.
Get out of here. Yeah. Do you like him, the director?
What else did he do?
Arrival.
Yeah, that was
and
good.
And Prisoners.
Oh, yeah, those were good.
Oh, yeah, Denis Villeneuve. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, he's...
Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, we both are on the same page with that.
It was kind of a little bit of a snooze fest.
I liked it a lot, but it was.
God, that's a beautiful movie.
That was a great looking movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was
so glad Deacons won finally.
I don't know that it needed to be 9 hours long.
Well, we haven't gotten to the director's cut.
Yeah, you haven't watched this.
Yeah, was it Blade Runner 2047? They called it that because that's when it will end.
That's the runtime.
That's when the movie is officially over.
I think it was 2049.
Oh, okay,
sorry.
But maybe I left early. So I didn't stay for the post-credits.
Yeah. I just watched the first one. I thought it was awesome.
So good.
I mean, obviously, Villeneuve is an amazing director. Everything he's come out with has
with
been
nothing in the pipeline.
Solid. Yep, he's taking a break.
Taking a little break.
Maybe you shouldn't take a break after a movie.
Like what? This isn't him.
No, I'm talking about Blade Runner.
Did that eat it?
I think that did not do what they thought it was going to do.
I think it well.
It was disappointing. It didn't lose money.
It did exactly what I thought it was going to do, because that is a...
I'm talking from a money
right,
standpoint.
Right, right, right. But that is a niche market.
Sure. I think that they thought that over time it had built up a bigger following than it actually had.
Yeah, it's so... I mean, nope. Blade Runner is such a... I
think a lot 100%. Of people's relationship with Blade Runner is similar to mine, which is like, I want to like it so much. And every couple years, I'll go back and try it again.
I'm right there with you.
And they're like, here's a different edit. Oh, maybe this time it'll click for me. And I'm just like,
nope.
It's a great looking movie. I mean, I might as well watch it with the sound off. I mean, it's...
Everything after it stole from it.
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, it's brilliant. It's just not... The storyline is just doesn't really do much for me.
That's fair.
But I love looking at it.
It's a good looking movie.
Yeah, so it's like porn.
24.
Sean Young.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dare to Dream. In that window, you know.
Yes, yeah. In that window.
Now.
Yes.
Now, the new one.
She doesn't need to do Gamilf porn.
Oh, right. Gamilf. Gotcha. I'm with it.
So 2049 had a $150 million budget, and it came in at $259 worldwide. So it probably made its money back with home video and everything, but, you know, they're not looking to break even.
Right.
So, yeah. Totally. You know, I think that's just like we mentioned earlier, outside of our bubble. We all think, oh, my God, they're making a sequel to Blade Runner. Like, that's going to be huge, and it's got Ryan Gosling, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, how many of the general public, how many people, obviously only a fourth of them, but that went to see Jurassic World are going to go see Blade Runner 2049? It's not the same. You can out and not think about dinosaurs.
I wonder if there is a way to do these kinds of movies, Blade Runner, The Crow, things like that.
Well, apparently there's not a way to do The Crow.
Yeah, there's no way to do The Crow. Even the director and Jason Momoa was like, yeah, we're out.
They're on like the fourth lead of that movie at this point.
Yeah, it was Bradley Cooper.
That would have been awful.
I don't know. It would have been interesting.
It
probably
awfully interesting. Yeah. And awful. I love Bradley Cooper. I'm not against him. I just don't see him.
Eric Draven.
Yeah.
Jack Houston. And then Jason Momoa.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've had a plethora of directors. I wonder if like Blumhouse, like a Blumhouse style company.
They need to do a $5 million Blumhouse treatment.
Exactly. Granted, you're not going to be able to do Blade Runner on $5
million. Sure.
Not going to happen. You could do The Crow
on
a $5 million budget.
Easy. Song and a dance.
Yes.
And a bomb pop.
Maybe a shoulder.
Maybe the ice cream man comes out with the bomb pop and dances out of the truck to you.
That's the same with Spawn. And that's Blumhouse.
Jamie Foxx.
And maybe
that's great.
And maybe Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner
as the Cape.
As the Cape. Yeah. No, I mean he could be the guy that hooks up. You know.
Yeah.
All right, gonna get a little nerdy. When Al Simmons dies.
Well, hold on. Let me get the people prepared for us to be nerdy. Yeah. Listeners, we're going to start getting nerdy.
Now
brace
we're gonna,
yourselves.
Yeah, when Al Simmons dies, his partner kind of moves in on Wanda. and they get together.
Damn it, Shane.
So, you know, maybe he's that guy or he's the guy that, I don't know. I have no idea what that story is going to be at this point.
I think
he needs to play the Cape.
I think John Bernthal is so good, but every time I see him, I just think, damn it, Shane. Like, he's just...
So I just finished The Punisher.
Such a scumbag in Walking Dead.
That had one of the most cringeworthy, gross-out scenes in...
First or second season?
There's only one season of The Punisher.
I thought there was... Oh, I guess he was in
Daredevil. He was in Daredevil season two.
No, isn't... I thought there was a... Oh, it's just the Punisher is like the second time you've seen him.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes. Where they make the guy who plays the brother on Westworld.
Okay, sure.
He plays the guy who turns out to be Jigsaw in The Punisher, and they make him...
Oh, I was like, you want to play a game?
No. They make him Jigsaw.
Okay.
Like, it is gnarly.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. It's Saw level... gore.
Yeah.
What they do to him.
Okay.
Well, what Frank Castle does to him.
Interesting. So no one saw Sicario 2 then?
I did.
You did see it?
Yeah.
How was it?
Really good.
Really?
If you like the first... Like, it, the problem is they don't...
So there's...
You don't have that human character to
Emily
attach yourself
out.
To.
Do they follow up on what happened after the...
No.
Okay.
It's there. It's him. It's Del Toro and Brolin.
Yeah.
It's just them.
Yeah. There's
back
no one
in.
To rein them in, or
no.
You know, it's just them doing their.
The government gives them a job, and they start doing the job.
Okay.
And the government's like, we didn't mean like that. And Brolin's just like, you told us to go do this, and we're doing it. And they're just like, you need to stop. He was like, there's no stopping it now, and it gets crazy.
Now, is it more without Villeneuve's eye? Is it more of an action than like a suspenseful? Like, how does it differ from the first one?
I would say the look is comparable.
Okay.
Like it looks the same. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's all there. Like I don't know who the director is, but he's definitely doing his best imitation.
Okay.
Which is, I think there's no reason. It's definitely more of like a cop movie.
Okay.
Rather than the first one.
Okay.
It's getting good reviews.
I liked it a lot. Yeah. It was really good.
Nice. So, yeah, I don't even... That's funny. They don't even list the director on here. Like, that's... I don't know who directed it, honestly. Not that we couldn't Google it, but...
Toby Hooper.
You know, maybe it was someone that worked on the first one that
maybe.
Took it over. You
yeah,
know,
that could be.
Somehow, sometimes they do that. Like, a second unit director takes over as the main director.
Tommy Lee Wallace.
Yeah.
Did that for Stefano Solima.
Yeah.
All right.
So I don't know if he was.
He is best known for gritty crime drama films such as.
Makes sense.
I don't know. ACAB, All Cops Are Bastards.
Well.
So this is his claim to fame.
Look at your time. That guy.
Oh. Oh, personal. This time it's personal. Yeah,
what if they had called it Most Cops Are Bastards?
All right. That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to give me exact numbers. Like, about 64%.
What
are
if
bastards.
It's all cops but Joe Battisti are bastards?
That's fair. I like that one.
So it's personal. Okay.
It's a very complicated acronym.
So anyway, Sicario, you know, $35 million on a $35 million budget. It has $8 million foreign. So, you know.
Probably not doing very well in Mexico.
What I'm really confused about is this: he's an Italian director. This is an Italian film, but the movie's called ACAB, All Cops Are Bastards. So I'm like, does that hold up in Italian?
Well,
probably.
Bastardos.
You're in the mafia,
Bastardos.
Joe. How does that, what's the Italian translation
We're
on that?
All oh. Bastardos.
All the cops are bastardos.
Polencia.
Oh.
I think that's Spanish, actually.
She has no idea. Number six, Uncle Drew, coming in with $6.3 million. It's a 59% drop in week two. It is up to almost $30 million domestic, $600,000 foreign. Did anyone see Uncle Drew? I'm hearing that it's delightful. I'm hearing everyone that sees it enjoys it.
There was a flick that I was trying to compare it to, and I still can't think of it.
Well, isn't this like Bad Grandpa? Isn't it? He's dressing up as an older guy.
Oh, no, I think he is an older guy. I think that's the joke, is that he's an older guy who's like a street ball legend who comes back
but
to
it's
the
a
game.
Young, but it's a young guy dressing
oh,
up as
yes.
an older guy.
That's what I'm
yes,
saying.
Yes, yes, like I'm sorry.
But I think he was saying you thought that you were saying the plot of the movie
is he was a young guy.
That's why I said, isn't it like Bad Grandpa, where he the actor is dressing up as a, is it Shaquille O'Neal or who?
No, Keri.
I know he's in it.
Shaquille O'Neal's in it. Keri Irving.
Okay, I'm not a, the main guy. I've never watched the
Shaquille
basketball
O'Neal.
Game.
I know who LeBron James is.
I'm pretty much after Meadowlark Lemon. I'm out.
Michael Jordan.
It's too early to whistle.
Scottie Pippen.
So
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, I mean, everyone that's seen it says it's really fun. The reviews are really good for it that I've seen online. So I supposedly pretty fun movie, but
all right,
yeah. So go see that if you want to see.
It had its
a,
own drink at Ronnie's,
Uncle
Drew Brew.
Uncle Drew Brew.
Yeah, that's what it was.
There you go.
I was like, no, I'm good. Yeah, I don't trust it. I don't. Man, well, mixed some weird things
also don't
in there.
Drink.
Why would they?
No,
just...
no. It was a soda.
Oh,
like
when you
it was
say
a,
brew.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
like,
no, it was
yeah,
a soda.
Yeah,
well, I was like,
brew, I think beer.
Right.
Because I'm like, why wouldn't you do like a jump shot?
Yeah. Oh, that's good one. Huh? Yeah.
We should open our own.
Yeah.
So the kids get the Uncle Drew brew.
The
and
adults get the jump shot.
And the adults get the Scottie Pimpin jump shot. I don't know.
Like Scottie Pimpin's
and then
a
you
chunky.
Go in the bathroom and you look at the urinal and you're like, somebody missed a three-pointer.
There it is. There it
ta-da!
Is. Seriously, the only thing I know of basketball, of course, Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan, but like Dream Team, like Scottie Pippen, Charles Barkley, just because there was like a...
Larry Bird?
Yeah, Larry Bird. There was that national, you know, surrounding.
That was the one
was,
where they were in the Olympics and all the other teams are just like,
yeah,
whatever, dude. Yeah.
And I know just from like, modern from news, I know Kobe Bryant and LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Well,
Steve
Shaquille. Kerr. I mean, from Steel, I know Shaq. That's obvious.
Yeah, Kazam. That's where you know Shaq from.
Yeah, and from Shazam, I know Sinbad.
That's
coming in at number.
I think you mean Zach Levi. I still love the from Adam Sandler stand up.
Oh,
he's got a joke about who's was it? Was it Magic Johnson who scored 100 points in the game?
Possibly, or. Maybe Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
I don't know, but he's like, let me do the impersonation of the other guys on the team. He's like, hey, I'm open.
that's very true. Nice. That's yeah.
Coming in at number 7, Ocean's 8 with $5.4 million. That's only a 35% drop. So, wow, people still going out to see that $126 million domestic on that one.
Big old swing.
I think these lady movies might be a thing.
They might be.
They're going to have to put more of the ladies in movies.
Swing and a miss? What was it?
For me, like it's one of those flicks. Did we talk about this?
No.
Okay. You know how in the first, in the ocean, the original three, you never saw them, did you, Kevin?
Well, the original one was
not
Frank
the original
Sinatra.
One. Been Dean Martin.
You mean the remake?
I mean the
remake. Yeah, like, I saw the first one.
Okay, so you know how like there's the idea that the heist may not work.
Yeah,
this one I never like. It was just like, oh, we've got everything figured
they're
out.
They're superheroes, basically.
Yeah, like in the in those three movies, there's always that air of we're gonna get caught. Like we've gotten caught.
Yeah.
Where in this one, it's just like, no, everything we have is figured out. Like there's no fear.
In the original,
they get caught, don't they?
It doesn't work.
Right.
They, I mean, they get, I think they get away with it, but, spoilers for movies from 1962 or whatever, but they end up, if memory serves, they end up hiding the money, like on a dead guy.
Yeah.
And they end up and they're like, we're going to dig them up and get the money back. And then the movie ends with them like they cremate them.
Right.
And they're just like, and that's how it ends. Yeah. So they don't get arrested
and
but
like,
they don't get the money either.
And like no coroner checks the clothes of a dead, like to think that nobody would check a dead guy. Before they get buried.
Yeah, you go. I mean, if Miracle Max has taught us anything, you go through their pockets for loose change.
Because you never know.
But I will say, Joe, so like Ocean's 8, I think there were entertaining aspects
of
it.
Sure,
the writing is terrible.
It's not. They do not play to anybody's
strengths. As far as the dialogue, it's terrible.
They try to make them the original counterparts.
They're so unbelievable as human beings. Like the way that they act, like the way that Scarlett Johansson and Cate Blanchett interact.
Scarlett
like
Johansson's not in this movie.
Sandra Bullock.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you
the way that Sandra Bullock and Cate Blanchett interact, like and all of them, they're just like, humans just don't, like, every
trying to do a Danny Ocean impression.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Every line felt like they're like, this character's so cool, every line's going to be cool, and they get in situations where you're just like, people don't even, like, that's just not real. None of them felt like
real.
Yeah,
but you don't, I don't think you go to this movie for realism.
I didn't, I mean, I
say the
I
same thing about Juno or Casablanca.
Yeah, like, I didn't go for the realism, you know? But the idea that they had, like, every I was dotted and T was crossed, and every turn they're going to have something set up where it's like, oh no, we got it. Like,
I mean,
it's no big deal.
I think the impersonation, it felt forced is the problem. I mean, I get that it's a movie, but the problem is everything, like Joe said, was so forced. And then I really hated, if I don't know, minor spoilers, but the James Corden character.
I hate James Corden.
But my complaint about James Corden was that he seemed like the only actor, well, with the exception of Anne Hathaway, who was actually having fun.
I would agree.
And so he ends up, because I end up leaving this movie that's supposed to be about all these women, thinking, I want to see a James Corden movie.
Yeah. But that character doesn't make sense. So he's put away the dad two times in jail. And
no,
he's
the
put
brother.
The brother.
Well, she said he's put the dad away too, or whatever.
Well, I feel like he's too young to put the dad away.
I don't know. Maybe. So yeah, he's put away Danny Ocean twice in jail, and he's done all this. But yet he commits insurance fraud with Sandra Bullock. Why would he care about
that
character?
Have you seen Sandra Bullock?
It didn't
I'd
make
commit,
fair.
I'd commit
like,
insurance fraud.
He was.
I'd even do it for George Clooney.
Maybe,
but
he's a good-looking man.
He's okay with her committing insurance fraud and just to recover something and putting away an innocent person. Like, I didn't like that at all.
But
he was
kind of a douchebag.
But he's playing a by the books. Like, I'm going to put your family away. I'm going to put you away. But then he works with it. It was
that's
dumb.
What I'm saying.
The writing,
like, everything was tied up in a nice little bow. Yeah. Where like in 11, 12, and 13. They were just like this. One of the scenes that people don't like that I do like is where Julia Roberts dresses up as Julia Roberts, and she has a run in with Bruce Willis, like in the second one. And she's, and, you know, somebody's like, "Oh, can I have your autograph?" And she's like, "Oh, sure." And she signs it, and Bruce Willis goes, "You're left handed," and Julia Roberts is just like, "Right? Oh, it's because I'm pregnant," and it's just so
well, that's funny.
It's like it's a good little scene where. They realize that she's not really Julia Roberts.
Interesting. Coming in at number 8 is Tag with $3.3 million. That's a 44% drop. That movie is up to $48 million now domestic, another 7 or so overseas. So we're in the 55 million.
The idea of the rated R comedy has gone away for now.
It seems to be petering out a little bit.
I think it just depends on the quality, you know? I mean,
that's what I mean. Like, I think Apatow has moved away from movies for now. He worked on that Shanling doc, which was insanely good.
That was just a passion project.
Yeah,
but yeah.
It was, oh man, that was good. But yeah, like, and Todd Phillips hasn't done anything. There, Adam McKay has kind of got away from the comedy aspect.
He's making real movies.
He's making
now.
Like, you know, what was it, The Big Short?
The Big Short. Yeah. Well, Todd Phillips even tried it. Didn't he do War Dogs?
Yeah, but that still had that Todd Phillips.
But it was still a more serious take on.
Well, his next movie is a Joker movie. So.
I gotta tell you.
So he's going back to comedy.
I don't know. Like, this movie, this Joaquin Phoenix, Todd Phillips,
Martin Scorsese.
Like, that's super interesting.
Oh, I'm so excited for it.
There's gonna be no middle ground on that movie. You're not gonna walk out of that going, eh.
I mean,
you're
gonna
be like, ugh, or like, holy shit.
But think about it. First of all, Martin Scorsese, king of comedy.
Agreed.
I think Joaquin Phoenix is one of the greatest living actors.
Agreed.
I mean, I think that, you know, Todd Phillips obviously can make he knows comedy, but he also can obviously take a serious tone and combine those two. Like, I think it's all there.
My only fear is that they're going to try to make him like a tragic character. And I feel like that goes against the Joker. We're like, I don't want to feel sorry for the Joker. Like, that's kind of where if they're basing it off the Killing Joke, not the shooting of Batgirl, but like the origin, and
he's a stand-up comic.
Well, he's a failing comic who has to turn to does like one crime and then falls into a vat of chemicals and becomes the worst villain ever. I have a feeling. So there's two. There's the Killing Joke, and there's The Man Who Laughs by Ed Brubaker and Doug Monkey. I have a feeling it's going to be a combination of those.
Well, there's the original.
What do you mean?
Well, there's the original origin where he works security for the playing card company and swims through a vat of chemicals to steal $1 million.
I don't think you can. If you're if you have Todd Phillips doing this, he's gonna be the failing stand up comedian.
Yeah. Oh, that's for sure. I mean, it's King. It's Martin Scorsese. It's got right. that King of Comedy. I'm just saying, that's the first origin.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. But yeah, I have a feeling he'll be the Red Hood.
Yeah.
Can't get the hood off. Has the run in. That's the other question. Batman has to be in the movie.
Yeah.
But what Batman do we get?
Interesting, yeah. We'll see. Yeah. Maybe the one that will tie into What's-His-Face.
Oh, yeah, Matt Reeves. I'm sure that would be okay.
Yeah.
If they're just like, oh, by the way, here's your new Batman.
Yeah, we'll see.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Carl
Urban.
Coming at number 9 is a limited release film, Won't You Be My Neighbor, which is awesome. I just saw it a couple days ago.
I have not seen it, but everybody's raving about it.
Some serious buzz.
It's great. It made $2.6 million, which is a 7% increase in week 5, limited to 893 locations. It is at $12 million domestic, you know, already in limited release. Like,
is this a biopic?
It's a documentary. It's a
documentary about Mr. Rogers.
Yeah. Does it talk about how he's the greatest sniper in World War II history?
It does.
Or Vietnam history?
It does, which is lie, but yeah. Right, his son says that's not real, but...
No, that's one of the great... I love that. That's like Marilyn funny. Manson level...
Right.
Yeah.
It is funny. They do address it, but yeah, no, it's great. I mean, it is a...
Did they talk about how he had a rib removed so he could perform fellatio on himself?
How he pulled the color out of his one eye so he could look weird?
Yeah, they don't talk about anything.
Did they
that?
Talk about how he died from... drinking Coke and Pop Rocks?
Or that he's Paulie from the Wonder Years?
Do they talk about the fact that he had to have a gallon of semen pumped from his stomach?
So Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
So they don't then.
Yeah, the sniper thing is addressed, but...
I don't know how they miss all this.
Me either. It's opportunities, yeah. Big time.
It's great. I mean, the whole premise is basically it shows you how Mr. Rogers started with the television show and his entire life, and basically the entire point is that he was on screen and off screen the same person.
Yeah.
Like he really was that great.
I remember Eddie Murphy tells the story. Is this in the documentary?
They show Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood a clip from it.
But you know, obviously, he did the famous, and he said he said he was somewhere and he met Mr. Rogers, and he's like, they're like, oh, Mr. Rogers was here, and he's like oh, I'm gonna go say hi to him, and he's like thinking that like he's gonna be like, it's a character he drops, and he's like, yo man, what's up, and being like just full on Eddie Murphy,
right.
And he's like, it's very nice to meet you.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I heard you do a very funny impersonation of me.
Yeah.
Like, not like I got you, but like I've heard it's very funny and people really enjoy it.
And they address that. Like the one thing is that they, with the impersonations, he didn't like anything that was mean spirited, because Mr. Rogers obviously was all about, you know, so if it was just in fun kind of a thing, like he liked some of that stuff, but there were some really mean ones that they show clips from, maybe like Second City or Mad TV. Oh. You know, some of them were really like making Mr. Rogers out to be.
I'm trying to think if it was Chasing Dogma.
Okay.
Which is the Kevin Smith? It's a comic book by Kevin Smith that is the link between where Jay and Bob leave in Chasing Amy
and how they end
to
up
to where
in
they
Dogma.
Show up in Dogma.
I've never heard of this in my life.
It's Jay and Bob
really?
Strike Back.
Wow, no.
You've never heard of this?
I've never heard of
it. Yeah, it's basically Jay and Bob Strike Back. Duncan Fegredo does the art. It's very funny.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. But there's a whole scene in there where Jay sees Mr. Rogers and like he sees him getting in a limo and he runs up to the limo. And they draw him very nicely to begin with. And then, like, he flicks Jay's fingers off, like, the window and gives him the finger.
Yeah.
And Jay's like, oh,
yeah.
Hollywood, never meet your heroes.
Exactly, and then, like, drives away. That's the kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like. I'm pretty sure it's called Chasing Dogma.
Nice.
Yeah.
And rounding out the top 10 is Deadpool 2 in week 8. Still making some nice money. Almost $2 million is only a 50% drop. It is up to $314.5 million domestic, another $400+ overseas. So we're approaching the around $730-ish million worldwide on a $110 million budget.
Disney's just like, I'll take that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, too late. Yeah, got in right under the wire. So, yeah, I mean, that's a huge success, especially for a sequel where everyone's like, you know, can they capture lightning in a bottle again?
Yes, they can.
$700 million.
And then the third one is an X-Force movie. That's going to have that Domino, Cable, Deadpool, I guess Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and
Yuki?
Yuki, yeah.
Nice.
Hi, Wade.
So that's the box office.
Thank you, Gavin.
You're welcome.
You know, I was looking over the box office real quick, and I just can't help but notice one.
How many movies?
Well, no, it's the same number of movies every week. It's 10.
I mean, how many companies?
No.
Oh.
I'm looking at.
Will you tell us what you were thinking, Tom?
Sure.
Okay. Someone will stop guessing?
Talking.
I'll just keep guessing.
Yeah. But I don't think there's any movie in the top 10 that's not a success.
That's probably true.
This is a huge year for movies. They're already talking about the first half of 2018 is already like beating records from record years or something.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a huge. I don't have the exact number, obviously, but the 2018 is huge for movies.
But yeah, I mean, financially, every movie in the top 10 is making money. I think the weakest entry is probably Tag.
Oh, right on.
Yeah,
you know,
and that doubled its budget.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I wonder what is. I mean, it's not like they're putting out Academy Award winning caliber stuff.
I don't think anything on this list is going to win an Academy. Well, Incredibles 2 maybe best animated picture.
I really hope, just throwing it out there, that Isle of Dogs wins. I don't want Pixar to win because they're Pixar every year.
Throw Incredibles into Best Picture.
Yeah, it should be nominated for Best Picture. I agree.
And then let Isle of Dogs have.
Yeah.
As, you know,
yeah. Well, agree to disagree.
That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. You know my position on.
I do. But I agree with
you. It does not work for me.
I agree.
Did you see Isle of Dogs?
I did. But I will also say I think he works better in animated.
Yeah.
Like when he does those things, it's still
that world makes more sense with that quirky. I mean,
absolutely. But it's still I liked Incredibles 2 more. Like, yeah. I legit just enjoyed it.
I just think for like animation, just as a piece of art, like Isle of Dogs, I just feel is. You know, but,
and it's a different type of thing, like in terms of like the Pixar. I mean, they've got their machine down,
sure.
And so they might be drawing new types of things, or not even drawing, I guess, but they are. But you know,
they are. Yeah, it's
they've been looking good for a really long time.
Yeah, so he had to basically invent something.
Here's the question, though: what happens now that Lasseter's gone? Like, does it take a dip? Does the quality take a dip? You know, like that's the question.
Yeah.
Is now that he's gone and out of the picture.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but who knows?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
we shall see.
He's going to laugh, you know, the way to the bank.
I just want to say for 2018, touching on that point, Black Panther, number one, $700 million domestic. Avengers, number two, $674 million domestic. Incredibles 2, $500 million already. You know, jumping to number six, Solo, $210 million. I know that's quite a drop. But, you know, it's just like Disney, when you look at the box office with the companies they own, that's insane that one company can own that much. And especially the number one and two being.
Well, here's the thing, is come 2019, there's no more Fox. You're going to have Sony, Warner Brothers, Disney.
I mean, there will be Fox, but
I think
they'll own it.
Yeah.
Well, right.
Disney, Fox. But
right.
I think they're still going to keep that as a moniker. Yeah.
They can't. I mean, it's a huge studio. They can't just be like, all right,
it's
you guys
now.
All come over to Buena Vista or whatever. Yeah. Like,
and as we talked about before, it's a way to distance themselves from edgier movies.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
They're not going to put out Deadpool with a Disney logo on it, but
no.
They can put it out with a Fox logo on it.
Absolutely.
So that brand, I don't think, will go away.
Do you think you get re-edits of all the Star Wars stuff? With the Fox fanfare?
No.
Why wouldn't you? They own it. Why not?
My guess is no, just because those movies have been such hits.
Right.
Until Solo. which I saw again on the cruise ship.
Still good.
It's still a good movie.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell is wrong with people.
I haven't
talked to anybody that's seen the movie that has been like, that
so
was bad.
No, it's only the internet.
It's those garbage.
Yeah,
we talk about
fans.
It over on the. I don't think Tom mentioned we have a Patreon.
Sorry,
but we talked about on the last episode about the Star Wars thing and the fans, because I even mentioned I saw Solo three times. It was just as fun the third time. Like, it's great.
I kind of went off. I got on leash there for a second on that Patreon episode. Yeah. So with no bleeps. So
ooh,
tune in to that.
There you go. That's what you get. So anyway, we should probably stick a fork in this one. So let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers or at our website, RealSpoilers.com. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Ant-Man and the Wasp.
They're so tiny.
Until then,
You've been warned.
So I'm at this art museum with my cousin Ignacio, right? And there was this like abstract expressionism exhibit. But you know me, I'm more like a neo-cubist kind of guy, right? But there was this one Rothko that was sublime, bro. Oh my God.
Luis.
Okay, sorry. I just get excited and stuff. But anyway, when Ignacio tells me, yo, I met this crazy fine writer chick at the spot last night. Like, fine, like crazy stupid fine. And he goes up to the bartender and goes, look at the girl I'm with. You know what I'm saying? She's crazy stupid fine, right? And the bartenders are all like, yeah, crazy stupid fine.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.